Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you are listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in. Here on Tuesday, we are in about the last week of January here, and we are luckily to be here in the studio with my pastor, David Hope. Pastor David, say hi.
Hello, everyone.
Now, Pastor David had been on the air with us for a few times. I think this last month we've been trying to get him in, but our schedules have been going back and forth and back and forth, but this time we're able to actually meet, and it's a good thing for the house of God to be busy. Amen, Pastor.
Amen.
It's like sometimes you just plan, and today we didn't even plan it, and I think that's the best thing. We don't plan it, and we just bump into each other and say, hey, let's get a show done and get that taken care of. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can reach me through email, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com. Now, I know I've been talking a lot about faith and talking a lot about getting out there and doing something for God. And I know Pastor is, I tell you this, he's always my walking concordance. If I got to find something, just like last week on the show, I just buzzed him when he was going through a meeting. And it just shows that he just knows the Word of God. And he actually got the scripture that I needed and everything right then at that minute. So he's a wealth of information. He's going to share some stuff on keep on knocking, on trying to make sure that you're out there still trying to get something done for God, even though you may think that you're bugging, or you may be feeling like your lack of faith or something. We're going to cover that in just a minute. Just want to remind you that tonight we're going to have at 8 o'clock, we're going to have Dana Smith on Warren Radio at 8 p.m. He's going to have a good show, so I want you to be tuned in for that. And he's been doing pretty good, and he's actually going to be having a special guest on February 4th. I promised that I'd mention it on the show. February 4th, he's going to have a gentleman from Israel to be on the show with him, and it's going to be a blessed time. Now, we're having some awesome things happening at the church. Our service times here is at 10:30 at Metro Church in Atascocita, right behind the big Kroger's. And also, we have our service at 6 o'clock at night, and we're just doing some good things, seeing people coming out. Had a great time with the power team, had some awesome salvations that night, and the church is just moving along, and we're just being faithful. We're just trying to get things moving. But also the ministry, we're going to be heading out to India February 25th. We'll be out there for about a week. We're going to do a two-day crusade, and it'll be a two-day pastor's conference, and I'll be a keynote speaker at the Bible College. And we're just starting that. But I think that no church, no ministry, nothing can be as successful unless they're putting themselves into mission somehow. If you can't go, send funds. If you can go, and you just trust God that he's going to touch, because you can't move. You can make God's heart really move when you go out there and you touch missions field. Now, Pastor's been on plenty of mission trips, and he can share and confirm on that. When you touch the people in different countries that are less fortunate than us in America, God, it moves God.
It does. And the people get a revelation that God hadn't forgotten them, that it does something to them, gives them hope to think that God loved them so much that he sent someone all the way from the United States of America just to minister to them and bless them.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, go ahead and jump on in on your keep on knocking.
Okay. A lot of times we pray and we pray and we don't see the answer. And, of course, the devil wants us to quit. And then sometimes we may be confused or hear some things about, well, if you just pray one time, and then if you pray after that, that's a lack of faith. Well, the Bible does say faith rests, but let's put it this way. If you go to a real door and you're knocking on it, you know, with your knuckles, and you don't hear an answer, well, you walk away because you think nobody can hear you. There's no one home. But if you know someone's in there, then what do? You keep on knocking. They didn't hear me. I'm going to knock some more. If you expect someone to answer, then you keep on knocking. If you expect the person on the other side wants to open the door. You don't walk away. You keep on knocking. And God wants us to know He wants to answer our prayers. And when He sees us continue to ask, continue speaking, even though our mind is telling us it's impossible, other people are saying, oh, quit, stop. That's not for you. That's someone else. You can't do that. And your mind's saying you can't because of the circumstances. Jesus calls it faith if we continue to knock until the door is open.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus teaches us that. And starting in verse 7, there's three verbs in that verse. Ask, seek, and find. And those verses are those those verses in the verse are in the tense, Greek present imperative tense, which always implies a continuous action. So that verse could best be translated as continue asking, and it shall be given you. Continue seeking, and ye shall find. Continue knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that continues asking receiveth, and he that continues seeking findeth, and to him that continues knocking it shall be opened. Praise the Lord. So Jesus instructs us to keep on knocking. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And I think a lot of people get frustrated because they don't think that they should be knocking all the time, and they think they should pray once and that's it. And if it doesn't happen, it's not faith.
Right. And you know, just for an example, you know, God always answers, but sometimes He knows the perfect timing.
Yes.
And so, for example, when a chicken lays an egg and that little baby chick begins to develop and grow, and now it's time to break out of the shell and get into the new environment on their own. Well, what happens is, I think they call that pipping, and the chick begins to peck and peck and peck at that shell, and every time the chick is pecking, he's getting just a little bit stronger. And then when he gets to the point he's strong enough to survive and sustain in this new environment that's out of that protection, then the shell's open and the chick lives and grows and continues to develop. But if someone was to say, oh, I see that chick trying to get out, I'm going to help him, and prematurely break the egg, then the baby chick is going to die because he's not strong enough to sustain the rigors of that new environment. And so as we're continuing to ask, we're like that little chick. We're pecking, we're knocking, and each time we do, we get a little bit stronger, because the longer it goes and the more time we've asked, the more faith it takes to keep on knocking. Because we believe, Jesus says it's faith, it's because we have to believe He's going to answer. That's why we're knocking. Lord, Your word says this. I'm expecting an answer. And so we get stronger and stronger. And then when we reach the point we're strong enough to handle it, to be a blessing, then there's the breakthrough. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And I think that a lot of people need to realize that the timing is totally up to God, but it's also up to you. It's where you are placed in life, and where you are learning your lessons, where you are adapting to what God is shaping you to. God wants to answer you, but He has to have you prepared for the answer as well.
Amen. And it's just like weightlifting. You know, when you first start out, you start out at a certain weight that you can handle, and maybe it's a challenge to you, and then after you keep working and working, then you do more and more weight, so that down the road you look back and say, hey, that weight I used to do, that's easy for me now. And that's how God develops us.
Amen.
In fact, in my book, The Goodness of God, I try to describe, to answer the question that people often have, that, well, if God is always good, but doesn't He put us through things, you know, to make us stronger or so forth? And I try to explain how you can tell the difference between the attack from the devil and when God is developing our character. God wants to develop our character, and sometime he won't place us, he won't tempt us, he won't take things away, but he will put us in a position where we're uncomfortable. In other words, we have to get out of our comfort zone sometimes, and God will place us in a situation where we have to leave our comfort zone in order to grow. And that's like he's our invisible spotter. If we were using that analogy of lifting weights, he puts a little bit more on the bar. Let's say we're bench press as the example. He'll put a little bit more weight on the bar than what we can actually lift to get up and rest on the stand. And so we'll push as hard as we can. And then Jesus will take the bar, just like a good spotter, watching over us, making sure that we're safe. And then we'll go as far as we can go. And then he'll do the rest and place it on the bar safely. And then we're just a little bit stronger than we were before. And in fact, it was actually kind of an enjoyable experience pushing ourselves to get a little bit stronger. But we were safe the whole time. But if we say, I'm going to do my own workout routine, I want to go a little faster, or I don't like this type of exercise, whatever, then we're in trouble. We can hurt ourselves.
Absolutely.
And the reason why people do that and go their own way instead of yielding to God and be under his direction and his protection is because Jesus is an invisible spotter. And so we have to understand by faith that he's there to protect us, and we just yield to him and let him develop us and get us stronger. And sometimes that means we got to keep on knocking. But as we continue to use our faith, then our faith just gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
Amen. How do you know when you should stop knocking, Pastor?
You don't ever stop until Amen. You see the manifestation of it into this three-dimensional world. If it's God, it lines up with God's word, and it's the will of God, then you don't stop.
So what if you feel like you're being like a pain or like you're bugging?
It's not. Well, in fact, we'll go over some scriptures to show that. Let's do one more here right quick. Let's do Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. And again, Jesus is speaking and teaching, and he said unto them, his disciples, he wanted his disciples to learn this principle. He says, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or his perseverance or he's just going to hold on and not give up. Because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. And then Jesus says again, and I say unto you, continue asking, and it shall be given you. Continue seeking, and ye shall find. Continue knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that continues asking receiveth. And he that continues seeking finds, and to him that continues to knock it shall be opened. Praise the Lord. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? So Jesus is saying, this man didn't want to get up, but because of that persistence, he did. But your heavenly Father wants to give it to you. How much more is he going to when he sees you being persistent and continue to knock? Praise God. Now, I think we're about to go to commercial, and when we come back, we're going to look in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48.
We'll be right back. We're going to play a little bit of information about our websites. God bless.
Hi, this is Dr. David Yanez. Wanted to encourage you, all the listeners here on Rev Video Network, to look at www.keepingmymarriage.com. That is keepingmymarriage.com. That is my counseling site where I help and counsel those that are in need in relationships that have been hurt, have been destroyed, have been to the brink. But they feel like they're almost out of grace because of their own failings or because they don't understand God's love and God's grace is there for them 100%, but they have condemnation, guilt, or whatever. I want to let you know that keepingmymarriage.com, that is keepingmymarriage.com, is available for those that are saved and want to be helped in relationships. I prefer to help those that are saved for one reason, is that the Word of God is going to help you. But if you're not saved, if you haven't gone through all that you have to go through and pray and understand that the seeds that I plant in you are going to be just like the scripture says, that there are four grounds, one stony, one full of thorns, and those things are going to be choked up out of you. But if the Word of God is, if you're saved and the Word of God comes out and we help you with the counseling that we're supposed to help you with the Word of God and belief therapy, you will be able to succeed as a Christian. So if you know someone that needs some help, maybe you do. Maybe you need to have some counseling or some reevaluation of what's going on in your life. Where does that stem from? Why do you pick the guy that always hurts you? Why are you constantly in a fight with your spouse? Why do you continue to make life difficult? Why do you make bad decisions? Well, if you have any of those things, and those things are happening to you, I will encourage you, first of all, to get in contact with me. My email address is david@davidyanisministries.com. Again, that email address is david@davidyanisministries.com. You can get a hold of me, and I'll be able to help you, be able to talk with you, be able to get you pointed in the right direction. But also, the second thing is after you contact me, I want you to get my book, Almost Out of Grace. It is a strong book on relationships. It tells you all the mistakes and craziness that can happen in the relationship. So I pray that you get that. You can get that at my website, almostoutofgrace.com or revelationministries.com or revministries.com. So I want you to be able to get a part of that. But remember, keepingmymarriage.com is there for you. It's there to help you and your relationships. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Okay, we're back. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We have Pastor David Hope, my pastor, here in the studio with us, and he is blessing us with a good lesson on keep on knocking. You should never feel like you're a burden. You should never feel that you are asking too much, but you should keep knocking till it comes into your life. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay, well, David, would you help me and read in Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through 48. Please.
Okay, yes, sir. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through 48. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace."
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So she pressed in. When it was hard, when people were saying, "Stand back," when the disciples were trying to push her away, she just said, I'm determined. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep going in. And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." Jesus sees us when we press in, and he considers that faith. Why is it faith? Because we believe we're going to get something. We believe we're going to have an answer. That's why we press in. That's why we don't give up. That's why we keep on when our mind says, "You can't do it. It's impossible." When people say, "You might as well give up. You still believe in God for that?" Jesus delights that we continue to press in. And the longer we wait, the greater the victory is going to be. It's like when you put money in the bank, it starts drawing interest. The longer you leave it in there, the more increase there is, so that when you finally withdraw, the greater the amount. And so Jesus said, hey, be of good comfort. I like this. I'm not fussing at you. I'm not pushing you away. I'm glad that you pressed in, and that is faith. And because of that faith, you are made whole. And it's the same with you and me. Another example of that is in Mark chapter 10. Blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I bet that's what it says. Let me turn to it. Mark chapter 10.
Sounds like a rhyme, Pastor. Amen.
Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. Thank you for that reading last time, David. I think my voice, I can handle this now.
Okay.
And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Praise the Lord. This is beautiful. You see, he cried out to Jesus. He didn't seem to have an answer. In fact, people said, be quiet. Stop that. Charged him not to that he should hold his peace. Did he quit? No, it says he cried out even more, all the more. And that got Jesus' attention. When he first cried, when he first prayed, Jesus kept going. But when he pressed in, even though there was opposition, even though the devil may send opposition to hinder, slow down, delay, and want to make you quit, the devil wants you to quit. Because the only way he can win in your life is for you to quit. And the only way you can lose is if you quit. You can't lose if you don't quit. And it doesn't take any special talent, abilities. Let me turn off my phone.
That's okay, Pastor. It's fine.
Doesn't take any special talent, giftings, or ability to decide you're not going to quit. Anyone cannot quit. That means you can automatically win. All you have to do is not quit. Don't let the devil talk you into quitting. He has no patience. You do. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The devil has none of the fruits of the Spirit. So when you're about to lose your patience, when you're growing weary, and you're about to give up, I want you to know the devil wants to quit more than you do, because he has no patience. And when he brings his a lot of opposition, it's because he is about to quit, and he's got to bring everything he's got to make you quit. Or otherwise, he knows he's going to lose. So you don't quit. You press in. And when Jesus sees that you press in, despite the opposition, you have his attention. The Bible says, and Jesus stood still. He stopped Jesus right in his tracks because he pressed in against opposition. He kept calling. He kept seeking. He kept asking. He kept knocking. He continued to knock. And Jesus said, be of good cheer. I like that. And you're going to get what you want. Whatever it is you want, you're going to get. And he said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, he kept pressing in is because he expected an answer, and that's faith. He took his beggar's garment and casted it away. Why? Because he knew he'd never have to beg again, because he had the attention of Jesus. And so I'm saying to you that Jesus calls it faith when you continue to knock. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I got another point I want to make that I believe will be a blessing to you. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. And we'll see something astonishing that maybe you've never noticed before.
Amen.
At first, I thought someone took the book of Acts out of my Bible, but here it is. Acts chapter 12. We'll start in verse 5. This is when Peter was in prison, and the people of God were praying continually that he would get released from prison. And we'll start in verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And they were praying that Peter would be released from jail. And as Peter knocked at the door, verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. Verse 16, But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Here's a beautiful example. You know, all the principles of God, they don't really stand alone. They're all worked together, overlapping. Just like in the natural, you have the law of aerodynamics will override the law of gravity, and planes can stay in the air. Well, here we have the people of God. They're doing what they're supposed to do, praying without seeking. They didn't see Peter. What did they do? Did they quit? No, they kept on knocking. They continued knocking. And what happens when you continue knocking? Your prayer gets answered. See, God answers prayer. Sometimes we think he doesn't, but you know what happens? We pray, God sends the answer, and we don't recognize it because we have a preconceived notion or a preconceived idea on how God is going to answer it. And so they had an idea on how God was going to answer Peter coming out of prison, and it wasn't some angels going in there and breaking chains and open doors. They thought maybe Herod would change his mind. Who knows? But when the answer showed up, they didn't recognize it was an answer from God. They said, Thou art mad. And what did they do? Give up? No. They went back and continued to pray. And so oftentimes the answer comes and we don't get it. But that's why we continue knocking, because of sowing and reaping. Here we're talking about these overlapping principles. If you will continue knocking when you're asking, that when the answer comes and you don't recognize it, it's going to continue knocking until you do recognize it. So that's why we don't quit. We keep on. Maybe we need to get stronger. Maybe God has a perfect timing, so the blessing is even greater. Maybe it's because he's sending it, but we're not recognizing. But one thing we know we do, we continue knocking. And as we continue knocking, when we're asking, when the answer comes, it will continue knocking. Peter being free was the answer. They didn't recognize it. But what did he do? Verse 16, but Peter, the answer, continued knocking. Praise the name of the Lord. And God calls that faith.
Amen.
I got a personal testimony to give on this. Actually, it's my wife. this was back when I was working in the secular world, and she wanted to add on to the house. And I told her absolutely, positively, no way, Jose, forget it, impossible, I have spoken. No way. Well, what did she do? Did she quit? No, she continued knocking. Almost every day, she talked about, well, if we added on, we could have this. And she kept, and she didn't just keep knocking with me. She went to God and kept knocking, kept saying, I see this addition over here. I see this room. I have this room. And when she got God's attention, then God got my attention. And what I said was impossible, would never happen. Well, we added on to our house, and God supplied the provision. We didn't borrow or anything like that, and without sacrifice was able to do it. And then she comes to me again and says, I want to add on again. And I said, absolutely, positively, no way, that's not a good use of our money. We've already added on. We got a beautiful home. Absolutely. And then she, oh, I want it because I want Oprah's closet. In other words, she wanted to, like, she had Oprah's house, what the closet that she might have. And I'm saying, how ridiculous is that? That absolutely. Oprah's closet? Are you kidding me? No, not, no, 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 no. It's impossible. Forget it. Don't even talk about it. What did she do? She continued knocking. And I got a, it's so supernatural. I got a bonus at my job, over 50% of my annual income. Nobody else got a bonus like it, not even close. I mean, not even within shouting distance. And it was supernatural. We paid for it without sacrifice, money left over. Praise the Lord. And right now I'm enjoying Oprah's closet. Well, what's the big deal about that? That seems to be a little superfluous. Yeah, it is. But through that, God revealed a principle and showed me this principle. And now I'm bringing it to you, this revelation that you can take and use on a whole lot more important things than Oprah's closet. Praise God.
Amen.
It's like the loved one that you're believing God for their salvation, and it doesn't look like there's any way. The more you pray, the more they act the fool. No, but you keep on knocking, and God will honor that. You just don't quit. Praise the Lord. And so now I just enjoy conversations with Jesus. I like to just get intimate, and just like any good friend, you'll talk about things, you know, in the past and laugh about them. And so from time to time, the Lord and I, we talk about Oprah's closet over at our house and have fun talking about it. But it reveals the principle that God wants us to press in, that He's impressed with that. It gets His attention. And the things that you desire, from Oprah's closet to a loved one receiving Jesus or anything in between, you got a physical problem or whatever it is, you just take the word of God, you keep speaking that, you keep going to Jesus, you keep continue knocking, and that answer will have to come. Even if you don't recognize it, it'll keep knocking until you realize what it is and lay hold of it for your blessing, for the glory of God, and to advance the kingdom of God. So don't quit. Galatians 6:9, be ye not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And one more scripture, David. Yes, I don't remember this. There was, I guess we didn't go over it, but there's I'm not sure where it is. I think it's in Luke also. And it's where the unjust judge, and the old lady comes in there and says, avenge me of mine adversary. And he says, no. But she keeps coming in every day. And the Bible says he doesn't regard man nor God. In other words, he doesn't want to do what's right for a person, be fair. He doesn't care if he pleases God or not. He doesn't care. But he said, lest she wear me out by her continual coming, I'm going to go ahead and give her justice. And then Jesus says, if your Father in heaven that loves you, who wants to do good to you, who wants to answer the prayer, who wants to give you justice, who wants to bless you, if this unjust judge who does not regard man nor God will do it by continually coming, how much more will your heavenly Father avenge you, make things right with you, bless you if you continually come in and continue knocking? And because God regards that as faith, we can rest in our faith even as we continue to knock, because we expect an answer because God's word says so, and we believe God, and that's why we're keeping on knocking. Don't quit. You can't lose if you don't quit.
Amen. Amen. So keep on knocking, my friends. We're going to go to a commercial. We'll be right back. God bless you.
Hi, this is David Yannis, host of MidWatch with the Rev and the station manager for Rev Media Network. I just wanted to give you our monthly ministry update, just to get you caught up with what's going on. And we have had over 75 people come to Christ this last month of November and December combined, and about 46 of those people also came in for prayer and prayer requests online. So I want to tell you that we're doing some good things. Rev Media Network is pushing forward, and we are having some great opportunities coming up. We have ministers from England, Scotland that are contacting us that want to have their shows. We have local ministers here in Kingwood, Houston, and Humble that are all getting a part of the station. So by 2010, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be have an expectation, because we're going to have more ministers on the air for you and more broadcasts happening. Also, 2009, November and December, you have seen the launch of our television channel. Lately, we've had been doing a lot of different things in radio, but now we have the television channel with an episode every few days, and we're moving forward on that. I want to welcome to the station Pastor Daniel Vasquez. He is going to be hosting a show starting in January 2010. We'll have him on the bio page and get that going as well. But I want to encourage you that this ministry is moving forward. We're going to be opening a channel in 2010. We're going to see some great things with a channel opening in Peru that's going to stream right here on Rev Media Network. It's going to be in Spanish and English back and forth. So we're going to see some great things happen on that station, on that channel, and our station. Also, we're partnering on the website with other countries that want to start a channel here on Rev Media Network. We're going to partner with them as well. So pray for these upcoming endeavors or adventures. I like to call them adventures or events coming up. I want to also thank KeepingMyMarriage.com, who has been airing a webisode every month, and also thank everyone that is listening to the station via Warren USA, who has a satellite, and also Sunday International, who has a satellite stream of this broadcast as well. I want to thank all our partners in ministry. I want to tell you thank you for being with us for our first year, and all the host of Charles, Dana, Judy, Mark Fields. I want to thank all of y'all for being a part of this station when we just started up, and we're seeing some great things. The Church Stream website is doing awesome. We have a lot of hits on that channel. We have all the pastors lined up that send in their shows. We're going to see that shows all put through. We're going to see about 10, 15 of those added this year alone. So November, December, all the way back to July, we've done a lot of progress. I want to let you know that you're a part of that, and that you're being a big part of it by supporting. So if you haven't supported and you're thinking about giving us a donation to help us, we will appreciate that, because we are putting everything out there. We are not a commercialized radio station. We are believing that God will provide through donations and through divine gifts that He has for us. So God bless you. Thank you again for tuning in to Rev Media Network. I want to tell you that this year is going to be a blessed year in 2010. We're going to see some great things happen. God bless you. Remember, my show is at 2 o'clock Monday through Friday, MidWatch with the Rev. I'll see you then. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Amen. We're back talking about Keep On Knocking with Pastor David Holt, my pastor at Metro Church. And Pastor David, we found that scripture.
Yeah, it's Luke 18, verses 1 through 8.
I'm going to go ahead and read that for him. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said unto her, Hear what the unjust saith, and judge not, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, with the Son of Man cometh, shall he find his faith on the earth.
Praise the Lord. So, verse 1, we should always pray. Continue to pray and not faint, or don't quit. Because God wants to answer our prayers. And he's encouraged us many times. We've read in these scriptures,
yes,
Jesus is speaking and telling us, you keep on knocking.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, tell us about the power team when they came out. Tell us what you felt when they were here, and what's the power force? The power force.
Well, it's
power
next generation power force.
Ah, okay.
John Jacobs and the next generation power force. Well, it was quite an event. We had a lot of folks, a lot more than what we usually have.
Amen.
And they did some real feats of strength. The least of which was the world's strongest man broke a 7-Up can over my head.
And it was a full 7-Up can.
Yeah, it was. It really didn't hurt too much, so I trusted him.
Amen.
But you know why it didn't hurt? It's a soft drink.
Oh, but they did pretty good. I like the idea that for once in a while, it's good to see that you can't find church members. Not that they're not here, but that they're inside a crowd somewhere, and nor where they normally are found. It's just lots of people. It was amazing.
Amen. I would recommend that ministry to any church, really, because it gives you an opportunity to have visitors and to get to know them and invite them to come. And, of course, you know, you can't. You just allow the Holy Ghost to draw them and just receive whatever returns with gladness.
And you know what? It's not the immediate return, because these people are going to know that this church is here.
That's right.
And they're going to know that the sweet Spirit of God is resting in this place, and that there's a good pastor and a good core group of people around them. And when there's a need in their home, they're going to come knocking.
Amen.
Amen. So it's not the immediate. It's we planted a seed in them, and then we'll see what happens down the road. But I'm sure that at least they know in this neighborhood that, hey, there's a church I visited at one time. Let's go see what's it all about.
Amen. And we had several salvations, and so that's a blessing.
I would say a third of them just went up to get Christ that were here. How many seats do we have out there? Did we
had 200, and virtually every seat was taken. So
okay.
I would, first time salvations, I would estimate it about 30.
Yeah.
I think. So that's awesome.
And, oh, yeah.
They had the world's strongest man lifted clean and jerked a like 450-pound log. They bent steel bars around. And then what did he? Oh, he took a baseball bat. I bought the bat, so it's not a phony deal.
Yeah.
Louisville Slugger, okay? 32-inch wood bat.
Yeah.
He did put a couple of towels on his head.
Yeah.
Top of his head. He put the bat on his head and held each end of the bat with his arm, with his hand, and then he broke the bat over his head.
Yeah. So it's pretty awesome. They had fun. But the good thing, beyond the strengths and feats that they did, they just had a good message.
Oh,
their testimonies, and you could tell they just, you know, they're missionaries into the school systems.
Yes.
And they do the harvest in here at the church, because they can't really preach in the school system. And some of the schools let them, some do. But they can just get the people, the kids, and the testimonies they were giving about bullets coming in the mail and them getting the guns hand to them and at events and stuff. And it's just amazing the turmoil our children are seeing at schools today. And I know that touches your heart really strong there, Pastor.
Yes. And, you know, not only do they do have great fruit when they go into the schools, but then afterwards, once the students, you know, really like them and want to see them again, then they tell us we're going to be at such and such church.
Amen.
That's, you know, close to them. And then they come to the church, and then, of course, they can give them, you know, greater testimonies and longer. And some of the testimonies were just tremendous. Russ, the world's strongest man, was the meanest man. He went from being the meanest man in the world to the strongest man in the world and one of the greatest soul winners in the world. Mm-hmm. And he was the meanest man in San Quentin prison, and the toughest guys there nicknamed him Legion, and they came to him and said, "We call you Legion because you have so many demons and we are afraid of you." And when they transported him, he was all chained up and he had to wear one of those masks like Hannibal, so that he wouldn't bite the guards. And then his 88-year-old grandmother rode on a Greyhound bus for 5 days. And she was the only visitor that he ever got. His father was president of Hell's Angels. And he grew up like they treated him like an animal. Mm-hmm. And she walked, of course, they couldn't go in the cell, but she pointed at him and rode 5 days on a bus to say these three things: "You will be saved, you will be free, and you will preach in Jesus' name."
Amen.
And all those were really looked impossible. And now he's saved, he's out of jail, and he's preaching the gospel.
And you think that grandma kept on knocking, folks?
I guarantee you, she had to continue knocking.
And knocking, and knocking, and knocking, and knocking. So I hope you enjoy that.
Yeah.
I hope you understand
the
concept.
And the bigger the door sometimes, the more you got to continue knocking.
Absolutely.
To get it open.
God is moved. That 80-year-old grandmother moved God. And to just like in the scriptures that Pastor read about the lady with the issue of blood and Bartimaeus, look at those two times that God stood still, that Jesus stood still, that someone moved him so much. Do you have the faith to make God stand still and look at your situation and bring a healing or bring whatever you need? That's what you have to keep on knocking for. It'll make the creator of all universe stand still and look at your life.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you for having me.
And why don't you give the service times and the address for the church?
All right. Service times: Sunday morning, 10:30. Sunday evening, 6 p.m. Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. We're located at 7811 FM 1960 East. In Humble, that's Humble, Texas, 77346. And our telephone number is 281-852-3630. And come and visit. Yeah, the
website,
emetrochurch.com. And we'd love to have you visit with us. We promise to love you and show you the love of Jesus, the word of Jesus, and the demonstration of the power of God.
Amen. I tell you, friends, if you come out and visit, you're going to find something that most ministers have found out when they came out here, and most people just loving God, that we have a very sweet spirit in this church, and they can feel that spirit when the service is there, and they just can feel the love of God. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Midwatch with the Rev. We'll talk to you next time on the Midwatch. We'll be right back.